Their first strand of the human family was brought into existence at the time of creation. Go back to Genesis. The best way to find out from the beginning what happened is look at the book of beginnings. That's the book of Genesis. The first time the word, in fact, go to chapter 10. And the first time the word Gentile is used in chapter 10. Look at verse 5. But these were the isles of the Gentiles. The very first time that word, goy in the Hebrew, or goyim, G-O-Y or G-O-Y-E-M, goy is the word Gentile. It's the very first time, and he's now talking about the isles of the Gentiles. These were the isles of the Gentiles. Chapter 10 of the book of Genesis is after the flood. It's the beginning of repeopling the earth by Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their four wives. It's following the command of Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, to be fruitful, multiply, and repeople the earth, or fill the earth with people all over, scattered all over the world, and let's put people back on this earth. I'm going to do this experiment one more time, God is saying, basically, to humankind. That's the first time it's used. When God created Adam, he created a Gentile. From Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis chapter 12 is approximately 2,000 years. Now, I know that because I've read the genealogies of Genesis 5, 10, and 11. And it's very easy to discern how much time there was in there. I believe the genealogies are absolutely on target. I believe that we can affirm that by what Jesus Christ had to say. I don't think there's any major gaps in the genealogies. The genealogies are right on target. The flood is going to take place, according to the genealogies, in 1648. In other words, 1648 years after Adam was born, and created. And then we're going to see that Abraham comes along at about 2,000 years after the flood had taken place, around 500 years after the flood. 2,000 years after creation, around 500 years after the flood. So, we're seeing that this 2,000-year period of time, there are only Gentiles. Enoch, a man who walked with God after walking on the earth for a period of time, was a Gentile. He was not a Christian. We don't call him a Christian. He was a Gentile. He was a believing Gentile. Noah, who lived 950 years, 600 years up into the flood, 350 years after the flood, was a Gentile. The grandfather of Noah, Methuselah, was a Gentile. He was the son of Enoch. He was a Gentile. He lived 969 years, the longest man to ever live. Abraham is a Gentile. These are Gentiles. That's all that was on the earth. There were no Jews and there were no Christians. You don't call a believing Gentile in this period of time a Christian. Christians don't come into effect until later on. We'll look at it in just a moment. So the first 2,000 years of human history, only Gentiles. It is key that you understand that. He's talking to Gentiles. God then, chapter 11, is going to go into Ur of the Chaldees. There he will find Abram at Ur of the Chaldees, bring him up the Euphrates River, over the Fertile Crescent, which is modern-day Syria, down into Canaan, which is modern-day Israel, into a location called Hebron. Hebron, a very, very key city in the battle that's going on. It's the second most sacred piece of real estate in all the earth for the Jewish people. It's the location where Abraham purchased a burial site for himself, his wife, for his son and his grandson and their wives. In other words, the patriarchs are buried at Machpelah Cave in Hebron. It's a location where there are today 600 Jews living and 125,000 Palestinian terrorists. And they're killing those Jews almost on a daily basis. And it's the second most piece of real estate in all of creation. I was just got a communique from David Wilder, who was the spokesperson for the Jewish community in Hebron. He said, they're killing us by the number. We need people to intercede for us. Our government needs to protect us. This is where Abraham went. This is where he stood face to face with Jesus Christ. when he got the promise of what was going to happen. But in that first 2,000 years on his way, their first 2,000 years of human history, only Gentiles upon the face of the earth. As we come now to the second point, the program of Bible prophecy, the program for each of those strands of the human family is laid out in three particular books. Let's deal with the Gentiles first. The book of Daniel is a timeline for the Gentiles. The book of Daniel starts at a certain point in history and goes into the future as far as the Gentiles are concerned. So if you want to know the program of the Gentiles in the eschatology or in the end times, you've got to have a handle on the book of Daniel. Go to the book of Daniel. Daniel has 12 chapters. Daniel and his three buddies were taken from the royal family, in essence, in Jerusalem into the Babylonian captivity, 605 B.C. Daniel and his three buddies. Thank you very much. There's one godly man here. All those ungodly names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Zananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. The godly names for those three buddies. I love it when a plan comes together. Anyway, these four, with some others, were taken into the Babylonian captivity, 605 B.C. In essence, what was happening was Nebuchadnezzar had gone to deal with the Egyptians and the Assyrians. The Egyptians and the Assyrians were getting ready to come together. He defeats the Assyrians. He drives the Egyptians back through the land bridge from Asia, the land bridge. You know, Israel is a land bridge. That's why it's so key to the heart of everybody who wants to have control of the Middle East. It touches the European continent, the Asian continent, and the African continent. And so this land bridge is where Nebuchadnezzar is driving the Egyptians back into Egypt. He finishes that battle, and actually what happens is he hears that his father has died. He was the crown prince. He was the heir apparent, so he has got to go back to Babylon to assume responsibilities for the Babylonian Empire. He comes up the Via Maris. That's one of those trade routes, remember. He comes across at Jerusalem. He sees this temple. He doesn't understand this religion, this Judaism. He couldn't understand this. They were worshiping. They were offering sacrifices. They were praising God in the heaven. All of this he didn't understand. And so he figured that this would be in opposition to what he was doing, as he now is going to become the head of the Babylonian Empire, which is going to make him the major player of the world. And so he thinks that indeed what he had better do is take some hostages, heard that phrase, take some hostages from Jerusalem there in the temple, take them back to his hometown in Babylon and retrain them. So he picks four from the royal family. He takes them back. That's chapter one. By the way, God allowed him to do that. Did you ever notice that? Chapter one. Go to Daniel chapter one just a second. Daniel chapter one, verse two. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands, with the part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. That's talking about Nebuchadnezzar. God gave the king of Israel, the king of actually Judah, to him to take into the captivity. And we allowed him to go into the temple and take the implements from the temple. This is chapter 1. Daniel was probably around 15 years of age at this point in time. He's going to be taken with the others into the Babylonian captivity. Chapter 1 talks about their retraining process. And there's so much I could. I'm not teaching Daniel. I'm just going to give you a quick overview of it. But then in chapter 2, we see that Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. Nebuchadnezzar's dream is really laying out what could be termed the times of the Gentiles. It is that period of time that is going to be instituted right here. Now, the phrase, the times of the Gentiles, is a key phrase. Keep your finger in Daniel and go over with me to the book of Luke, chapter 21. Luke, chapter 21. Luke 21 is going to use the phrase again, and it's going to explain what's going to happen as it relates to Jerusalem. Luke chapter 21, verse 24. Remember, I talked to you about Matthew 24, and that was the Olivet Discourse, that special profound prophecy conference Jesus gave. Luke 21 is a similar passage of Scripture. It's a synonymous record of what had taken place in Matthew 24. But in Luke 21, 24, it says this, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all the nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden." By the way, led away to all the nations, that is in 70 AD. So that's not talking about his second coming. This is talking about when they were led away into all the nations. And that only happened one time, 70 AD, when General Titus and the Roman army destroyed them. Okay. "And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." That phrase, "times of the Gentiles," is a very key phrase. The times of the Gentiles. It means in essence, and if you're studying prophecy, you got to understand this, it means in essence that period of time when Jerusalem and the Jew are under the control of the Gentile world. When Jerusalem and the Jew are under the control of the Gentile world. Now that is reality. That's where the rubber hits the road today. The United Nations, the quartet, which would be the United States, European Union, United Nations, and Russia, they are basically dictating what Israel does. Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, which is the key spot in the city of Jerusalem, it is controlled by the Islamic world. That gold dome building that sits on the spot where the first and second temples stood has been there since 691 AD. We're talking about a period of 1,300 plus years. When the first temple stood there for 400 years, the second temple stood there for 600 years. That's a total of 1,000 years on the Temple Mount for a temple that belonged to the Jews, the sacred holy place of God. And that Dome of the Rock, which is Antichrist, has been there 300 years longer than the first and second temple put together. The Gentiles are controlling the Temple Mount, the sacred piece of real estate that is to the Jewish people. And they're controlling the Jews. It's a Gentile world we're living in. Up until this point in time, the Jews, the focus of the Word of God, the Jews control the world. But now it's the Gentiles. So the times of the Gentiles started when Daniel and those buddies of his were taken into Babylon. That's the beginning of the times of the Gentiles. And Jerusalem, it says in Luke 21, 24, shall be trodden down until the times of the Gentiles be completed. Now, having made that statement, we look at chapter 2 of the book of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 2, we are reading about how Nebuchadnezzar is going to have a dream. And in that dream, interesting, I love this, because Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. He doesn't understand what it's talking about. He calls his wise men in. He says to the wise men, "I want you to interpret my dream." They said, "Be happy to, King Nebuchadnezzar. Tell us the dream. We'll give you the interpretation." He said, "No, no, no, no. I can give you a dream. You can make up an interpretation. If you can truly give me the interpretation, you can tell me what the dream was too." "Oh, no, King Nebuchadnezzar. Nobody's ever done that before. You just give us the dream. We'll give you the interpretation." "No, no, no. I said, give me the dream and the interpretation. If you don't, I'm going to cut your heads off." Uh-oh. So they go back to the barracks and they're talking among themselves. "We are in trouble. Who in the world can give him the dream? We can make up an interpretation. Who can give the dream?" And all of a sudden, Daniel heard about this. He's now been advanced as one of the wise men and the three Hebrew boys as well. And God gifts, it says in chapter 2, Daniel with the interpretation of the dream and the dream itself. And he goes in and he tells Nebuchadnezzar, "I've got the dream, here it is, and then I'll give the interpretation. The dream is, you had a dream of a man, had a gold head, had a chest and arms of silver, a belly and thigh of brass, legs of iron, 10 toes of iron and clay. A stone comes along, hits the image of the man, bursts it into little pieces. The wind comes and blows it away like the shaft. And out of that stone, a mountain comes. That's the dream. Nebuchadnezzar said, that is right. Now, do you know the interpretation, Daniel? He said, yes, I know the interpretation. O Nebuchadnezzar, thou art thy head of gold. And what he has been given here is the Gentile world powers that are going to come into existence. Now, I don't have the time to really develop this. Nebuchadnezzar had his dream when Daniel was about 18 years old. It took him 3 years to prepare to be a wise man. About 18, he gives the interpretation. When Daniel's about 70 years old, Daniel has a dream. He's still in the Babylonian Empire. This is chapter 7 of the book of Daniel. And his dream is interpreted by the angel Gabriel directly from the heavens. And his dream is similar to Nebuchadnezzar's. Instead, though, of having an image of a man with a gold head, silver chest, and all the rest of it, he has animals in his that come up out of the sea. He has a winged lion that comes up out of the sea. He has, with his wings snapped off, he has a bear who's laying on his side, left side, with three ribs in his mouth. He has a leopard that is unique with four heads and four wings. And then he has an awesome beast. He can't even describe it. It has amazingly awesome teeth, and he smashes up all of these others. And that beast has 10 horns. And out of those 10 horns comes a little horn. He subdues 3 of the other horns, and then they all become a kingdom. What I've just given you is 2 dreams. By the way, let me tell you how to read Daniel. It's important. Jot this down. Here's how you read the book of Daniel. Because you see what I just did was went from chapter 1 to chapter 7. Chapter 5, look at here. Chapter 5 is the fall of the Babylonian Empire. Chapter 7 is still Daniel in Babylon. So if you read chronologically chapters 1 through 12, you don't get it. Here's how you read the book of Daniel. Chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4. Daniel 1, 2, 3, 4. Then you read chapters 7 and 8. Then you come back and read chapters 5 and 6. And then you read chapters 9, 10, 11, and 12. I'll give you that again. Daniel chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, 5, 6, 9, 10, 11, and 12. That's how you read the book of Daniel. Otherwise, you're going to be completely blown apart. You will not be able to understand the book of Daniel. Daniel now, chapter 7, Daniel is about 70 years of age. He's going to be 85 in chapter 5 when the Babylonian Empire falls. He will have been in captivity for 70 years. How do I know? Chapter 9, verse 2, he was reading the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, he was reading where it says 70 years. You'll be in desolation, Jerusalem. And then I'll let your Jews go back. He was taken out at the beginning of the 70 years. He gets the message in his quiet time reading the book of Jeremiah. I know where he was reading. He was reading Jeremiah 25:11 and 29:10, where Jeremiah, 100 years before the event, prophesied that it was going to be 70 years. Why was it 70 years? Because God told the Jewish people to rest their land every seventh year. Give it a sabbatical. They didn't give the land a sabbatical. That's Leviticus chapter 25. He didn't give it a sabbatical. They didn't. For how long? For 490 years. You divide 7 into 490, they're out of the land for 70 years. You see, God, when he tells you to do something, he means to do it. You don't do it, he'll do it for you. I found that out in my own life. Maybe you have too. And so Daniel is read differently than what we have laid out in the Bible. 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, 5, 6, 9, 10, 11, and 12. That's how you read the book of Daniel. By the way, chapter 8 tells us of the Medo-Persian Empire and the Grecian Empire. It lists them. You don't have to be a brain surgeon to understand prophecy. I am not a brain surgeon. I'm a reader. That's all you have to do is read. Somebody came up to me and gave me the greatest compliment last night. They gave me the greatest compliment. He said, you know, we figured that you were going to be talking above our heads, but you just talked real plain and simple, made it really simple to us. I said, do you remember that old adage, KISS, K-I-S-S? Keep it simple, stupid. And I'm the stupid part. I'm supposed to keep it simple. And see, my problem is I'm so simple, I got to get it to where I can understand it, then I just spoon feed you with it. But I heard another story today, too. Brother was telling me about a professor who got finished doing a 2 or 3 hour lecture on physics or something like that, philosophy. And how was that? He asked the class about if they understood it. He said, no, I don't understand it any better, but I'm more confused at a higher level now. I thought that was appropriate. But, you know, I'm just trying to make it as simple as possible for us to grasp prophecy. And what I'm saying is, if you read in Daniel chapter 2, he says, Nebuchadnezzar, thou art the head of gold. That's the Babylonian Empire. Chapter 8 talks about the next empire, the Medo-Persian Empire. And then it talks about the Grecian Empire. That's the order. You see, the head of gold is the Babylonian Empire. The silver chest and arms, that would be the Medo-Persian Empire. The belly of brass and the thighs of brass, that's the Grecian Empire. And then the legs, the iron, that would be the Roman Empire. And the 10 toes of iron and clay, now that's the revived Roman Empire. When you make those same interpretations applicable in the chapter 7, that winged lion, you know what's at the entrance, at the Ishtar gate in Babylon? A winged lion. That's the symbol of Babylon. It's there now, today. And so that's talking about the Babylonian Empire. Then you talk about that bear laying on its left side with three ribs in its mouth. Well, there's several interpretations. It's the Medo-Persian Empire, but why is that? Well, because the Medo-Persian Empire was basically controlled by the Persians. The Medes were just partners. There's never, when you have their co-directors or their co-pastors, don't believe that. There's one of them in charge. There's never such thing as co-anything. One of them is in charge. And that, see, the Persians were in charge of the Medo-Persian Empire. That's why the bear's laying on his side, the three ribs in his mouth. Well, you've got the Assyrian Empire, the Egyptian Empire, and the Babylonian Empire before the Medes. Those are the three ribs. And then you come down to the winged lion, the leopard with wings and four heads. Well, that's the Grecian Empire. Why? Because the leopard is the fastest animal in all of the earth. Well, maybe the cheetah's a little bit faster, but you put four wings on a leopard and he's going to be faster than any cheetah. That's conveying. You see, the Grecian Empire came to power faster than any other empire in the world. Had four heads. Well, when Alexander the Great died at 32 years of age, his kingdom was divided into four parts. It's really simple when you, and especially to check yourself out, you go to chapter 8 and it says, the Grecian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire. I mean, just read. You don't have to be really smart. Just read. And then the next empire, well, we know, looking back in history, in retrospect, the Roman Empire was next. And it was awesome, and it destroyed all the rest. And then that revised Roman Empire, that's that 10 toes of iron and clay, that said they will come in chapter 7, and verse 24. And then it's talking about a little horn out of the 10 horns. Well, that is the Antichrist. That's one of 27 names for the Antichrist. He comes to power and he controls the others. You see, I know this not because I just know Daniel, because I know Revelation. And I know all the other books. And they all intertwine together. I'm just trying to let you know. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the Gentile world powers. Who was the last great Gentile world leader? The Antichrist. Where does he come to his fall? At Jerusalem, when Jesus Christ steps back on the earth. Oh, he ultimately is going to go from Jerusalem to the Jezreel Valley. But the beginning of the Battle of Armageddon is not a good term. It should be the Campaign of Armageddon. It starts at Jerusalem. That's where all the armies gather. Then they go to the Jezreel Valley. That's a whole interesting study. We won't be able to touch it, but some interesting, see how the whole thing fits together? So for the Gentiles, chapter 1 of the book of Daniel is the three Hebrew children studying in Nebuchadnezzar's court. Chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Chapter 3, it's still in the Babylonian Empire. The three Hebrew boys who wouldn't bow, they wouldn't bend, and they did not burn. I love that. And then chapter 4 is Nebuchadnezzar, who thought he was God. He didn't sing that song, How Great Thou Art. He sang that song, How Great I Am. He stood up and bragged about how great he was, and he had another dream. And Daniel interpreted that too. You're going to be shut down for 7 years, old Nebuchadnezzar. And you're going to be wandering around out in the wilderness through the woods on your hands and your knees. And your hair is going to grow long and it's going to get wet. It's going to be like wet eagle's feathers. And your fingernails are going to grow long like claws of a bird. But then you'll be brought back. And that's exactly what happened. History tells us the prophecy of Daniel was fulfilled. That's exactly what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. He was brought back when he honored God. And when he said, "Thou art the Most High God." That's maybe the key phrase of the book of Daniel, the Most High God. That's chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4. Then you go to 7, that's Daniel's dream at about 70 years of age. Go to chapter 8, that's another 5 or 6 years in chapter 8. Then you come back to chapter 5. What is chapter 5? That's the fall of the Babylonian Empire. Belshazzar has taken over as king of the Babylonian Empire from his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar. That's when the handwriting's on the wall. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, 5. That's the end of the Babylonian Empire. Now we come to chapter 6. Chapter 6 in the lion's den. That's under the Medo-Persian Empire. And the Medo-Persian Empire is where Daniel continues his leadership role in a Gentile world power. Chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, 5 is the Babylonian Empire. Chapter 6, 9, 10, 11, and 12 would be under the Medo-Persian Empire. Chapter 10 of Daniel, chapter 11, 12, 13, and 14. I'll come back to Daniel 24 in just a moment. Let me give you now, that's the book. If you want to understand what's going to happen to the Gentiles, the book of Daniel is the book.